trade deadline time is coming. And guys, even though most of the time, Ryan, these things don't turn into big events, there's always a lot of traffic, a lot of moving, and a lot of conjecture that people would be moving because there are so many teams, and especially this year, you look in the Atlantic Division, the Leafs have a 19-point lead on Florida for that playoff spot. That means everybody after Toronto, Tampa Bay, and Boston is a seller. It's even in the parody of this NHL, there's a chunk of teams there. So no wonder everyone's frothing at the mouth at the trade deadline, because a lot of teams are going to say, okay, yeah, I'll trade you.
Buyer's market right now. So teams don't want to pay the opening offers that the sellers are making. And when you hear it, you understand why. I mean, I think we're seeing a little shift, or I wouldn't be surprised. Again, we were talking about it with my pod buddy, Rory Boylan. NHL GMs, I think, are starting to have a little hesitation over the price for rentals, right? And like we heard Doug Armstrong speaking about this, I think yesterday, saying, you know, his team's open for business for hockey trades. But the idea that you're going to go out and spend a first and a second and a prospect for a guy, even a guy like Rick Nash or Evander Kane, who could really help your team, but for 6 weeks, I don't know. It just seems a little crazy, especially when, given the current landscape of the NHL, like if you're trading a guy who's 19, well, he could be on your team next year and he could be bringing you something, you know, 65% of what the guy you're trading for brings you at, you know, 20% of the cost. So I'll be interested to see specifically with the rentals. I do think the asking price is going to have to come down for there to be some action, but there does seem to be real potential for what I'll call hockey trades. And to put a hard definition on it, let's just say any guy who has a contract already for next season, if he's getting moved, we're calling that a hockey trade.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
very different.
That could be Ryan McDonagh. That could be Max Pacioretty. There are guys who are on deals that you would, if you trade for them now, you're going to get them for at least two cracks at the Stanley Cup. And to me, if I'm going to reach way into my pocket, if I'm going to go into my prospect cupboard for a guy, I want two chances with him. I want a year and a half. And also, hopefully, I do take a deep run and that guy goes, hey, maybe I want to stick around here. So we'll see. But I'll be very curious about what ends up happening when it comes to the high-end rentals. Yeah, sure. Will you still throw away your, you know, third or fourth for a depth guy? Sure. But, man, you know, look at Minnesota giving up a first and a second
for
and a prospect for Martin Hansel last year. That's tough.
Yeah, that's really what I keep coming back to, is the prices that have been paid in the past, and that deal in particular that Minnesota parted with that many assets for a decent player in Hansel. He's not a bad player, big body, right? Some skill, but he's not a frontline player. Rick Nash, I would say, is no longer a consistent frontline player, but I think in the right setting, he can still bring it on a night-to-night basis. You know, if you give him 13 or 14 minutes a night, he's going to generate some offense. I could more be okay parting with an asset or two for a guy like that if you're legitimate about a cup run, which Nashville, who seems to be the most likely destination for him, is. But you look at the list of guys that are, you know, quote unquote, trade bait targets. Patrick Maroon, we talked about Derek Brassard a little bit before the show. Evander Kane has 3 goals since December 22nd.
I cannot get the excitement over Evander Kane. I'm just missing something.
Big
there.
Body, I guess. Well, offensive
okay, well,
touch.
Well, whatever. But, or he had a good year 3 years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
I do not
understand. You're not
blowing
your brains
that
out to get that guy. Oh,
no, nor no should way. You. There's nobody on this list that really jumps
rather,
off
well,
the page.
If the asking price for Kane is way up high, wouldn't you rather say, well, I'll pay the entry fee for Grabner?
Yeah.
Somebody, right. You know, even like Thomas Vanek, who knows? Right. I mean, I just feel like you have as good a chance to feel good about that move, given its low risk, as you do with the higher risk. Oh, we went after a guy and whatever. He just never fit into our team. And that's the other thing, is like it takes some time to work a high-level player into the team. A lot of times, it does take time. And, you know, you get down to it here. the deadline is the 26th. You basically just have a month to
go
after that.
That's 100% right, Ryan. That's one of the big reasons for me, especially a rental. It's too short a time period. If you make the deal, maybe you're at 63, 64 games. You've got 18 regular season games plus playoff to get him acclimatized, get him in. You know when he starts to really get his drive? By the third round of the playoffs. Here's the problem. You're out in the first round of the playoffs, and you're golfing, and the guy's out of the lineup. And secondly, a lot of these guys, Nash in particular, Kane to a certain extent, there's an age factor. It's a, to your point, it's a younger man's game. The league is younger. So you bring in a 31-year-old player, even on a short term, or even if he's got another contract for another year, even if he's 32, 33, and you give up young pieces or draft picks in a league that's going younger, well, let me tell you, you better win the Stanley Cup. And you better win it that year, because you're going to wind up, that deal can cost you for decades. And a high pick, forget it. And Rick Nash, no interest.
I would think that the last time that a team traded a first-round pick for a quote-unquote impact player at the deadline and it actually worked out, I was just looking it up, probably Jeff Carter in 2012. The Kings traded for him. They went on to win the Cup.
No, that was a great pickup. No
question.
It's
rare, yep, though, that you give up a first-round pick. Like, I saw the Nashville Predators gave up a first-round pick for Paul Gostad a couple years ago.
That was peak craziness. Yeah, I remember that
kind of stuff, I think, is just no longer realistic. Maybe you get a team that's desperate for any sort of, like, in their mind, an impact player at the deadline, and they'll part with more than they should. But I think teams are just now a little bit too careful, too cautious to part with too much for such a gamble. Because like you said, you've got 5-6 weeks, however many games, probably 17 to 20 games to integrate what you're hoping. In the case of Rick Nash, is probably a top six forward or a top four defenseman, or, you know, a third line center, something like that, into your group and have everything clicking on all cylinders for the playoffs. Sometimes you pick up a guy like that and bring him in, and it just disrupts the flow of what you had going on, and, you know, it doesn't have the desired impact. And then you part with an asset that ends up being something legitimate. You know, there's a lot that goes into this, and I'm just, again, looking at the list of available guys here. There's nobody that I would say, like you said, maybe a Pacioretty, a guy with some control that you can take two shots at it with, that maybe then you part with a little bit more. But for 15 to 20 games plus whatever playoff run you go on, I'm not giving up a first-round pick plus, in some cases, for a Rick Nash or, you know, a Patrick Maroon or an Evander Kane or somebody like that. Those guys just aren't moving the needle enough for me. Well,
moving the needle is the best way to put it, Josh and Ryan, because that's what I mean. And, you know, I'll use one. I work in the Senators organization. Everybody knows that. So Derek Brassard is a fine player. In fact, I think Derek Brassard is a very good NHL player and a terrific, terrific young man. And he's been good. He was good in Columbus. He was good with the Rangers. He's been good in Ottawa.
Uh-huh.
He's got 16 goals. He's a valuable piece. There's no question. He's 31 years old in September. So by next training camp, he's 31 years old. He is a player who can definitely help. I would certainly be very interested. But some of the stuff I'm hearing that might take to move Derek Brassard out of Ottawa is what I mean by the hysteria of trade deadline. And this guy is going to make that much of a difference this year or next. You know, he's not 35. He's not like Nash. He's not at the tail end. You know what I'm saying? Is like, I'm just not prepared to go there. I don't even want to look at it because it's just not enough. So if you can't make the impact, and I think we saw it in the NBA, and I made the analogy to the Raptors earlier. It's not that the Raptors weren't trying to make a deal. They weren't trying to improve. They just look at it and they go, there's nobody out here that is going to, why should we wreck what we've got going?
And we should note, it is situational, right? It varies team to team. The Raptors have their guys. They are basically playing as well as they can with the players they have. We'll dive more into basketball later, but Cleveland had to do something, right? So boom, they did a lot. And it's the same thing in the NHL where, you know, there are teams that making the playoffs or going deep means different things to different teams. And, you know, I'm all on board with what the Rangers are doing, saying, hey, yeah, we could maybe still make the playoffs, but you know what? That's not good enough. We made the playoffs the last 10 years. We're trying to do something else here. So we're going to take a step back to take two forward. That's just where they are at. Now, we mentioned the Hansel trade with Minnesota last year. The other team to really shell out was Washington to get Shattenkirk. Those are two teams that had to do something. Those are two franchises that were first and second round, first and second round, first and second round. So you know what? I'm not going to object to teams once in a while saying where we are in our arc is if we don't punch through at some point here, we're just going to become irrelevant. So, you know, if you're a team that's just setting out, you know, if you're a Toronto Maple Leafs, just going to make the playoffs for the second time in a row here, or, yeah.
Winnipeg Jets?
Sure,
Winnipeg Jets. Winnipeg Jets or the Leafs of the West?
You just don't need, you're not as desperate as some of those other clubs that are saying, look, we've been making the playoffs for half a decade here. We got to do a little more.
So we got teams, you know, I mean, in the East, Pittsburgh, Washington, we already talked about Pittsburgh, Washington naturally still back on top, Tampa Bay, Boston, to the Leafs, even though they're still young, and you just perfectly described their position, but we know the heavyweights there. In the West, I think everyone's favorite right now is Nashville, just because they went to the Cup final last year. They're so deep, and especially if they can make a deal. But the Western Conference is more interesting, because then you have Vegas and Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And Winnipeg, in my mind, Josh, is the Leafs, as I just said, of the West. They struggled. They finally found their way. They're good. They're hot. They're piling up points. They're right there. But it's like, yeah, but your core is still pretty good. And you got to be concerned there, you know, of making sure that you don't wreck it too much. And Vegas, which is still the story, guys, in the NHL this year. And Ryan, you've talked on the podcast a ton this year. And there's nothing left to be said about Vegas. They're an expansion team. But both those teams are not, to Ryan's point, that desperate, I better do something now mode. The party's just started for them.
Absolutely. And Vegas to me still is an interesting one because, like, they have some UFAs, right? They took some guys in the expansion draft that are going to be up, namely James Neal. He's the guy that comes to mind every time you talk about Nashville. And are they realistically, I look at James Neal and JVR as kind of similar type players, right? Offensively minded guys, nose for the net, score a lot of goals. Maybe they have some deficiencies in their game, but both are probably looking for, I would imagine, similar term and money on their new deals. Both are pending UFAs. Like, what does Vegas do with James Neal? Do they feel like, oh, are we realistically going to pursue an extension with him? Do we perhaps dangle him and feel like we have the rest of our roster here that we're going to make the playoffs? What do we do? Because everything that's happened this year for them is gravy, right? If they want to make a move, that power to them. If they want to really double down and see if they can make some noise in the playoffs, that's great. If they want to just let things ride, that's great too.
Right. Here's the thing with them, especially though with Neal, even if they dangle him, it's a case of, all right, team says, all right, well, he's in a UFL, I'll give you a draft pick for him. George McPhee's got a ton of draft picks.
Yeah, that's also
true. He doesn't need the draft pick.
No.
So if Neal happens to walk for nothing, that's kind of unfortunate. But I'd rather James Neal walk out the door for nothing as opposed to get a second round pick when I got, I'm not dismissing second round picks, don't get me wrong, but you know what I mean? That's what makes their situation unique. He's got a lot of great, he's got tons in his arsenal, Ryan.
I absolutely think they'll view Neal as their own rental, so to speak, right? And who knows? Maybe they will keep him. I mean, things have obviously gone way better than anyone expected there, and I'm sure James Neal went there thinking one thing, and now he could be looking at the situation going, yeah, why wouldn't I want to stay here if they give me a fair offer? We'll see. But yes, I think we've officially flipped to the point where now Vegas, while they're clearly going to stay the course in terms of franchise building. Look, they have 3 second rounders in 19 and 3 in 2020. You telling me you can't give up one of those if there's a piece out there that you really like? And if you're looking at it going, we can make the Final Four this year. Like, that is absolutely on the table. And who knows if you're going to get that chance in the next 2-3 years because of the parity in the league.